Welcome to Social Selling Simplified. I'm your host, Ashley Shaw. And in today's episode, I sit down with Emily Fierce. She is a coach for ambitious women who are ready to do something epic, get rich, and do good. Whether she's working with women who are shaking up their industries, leading the way in politics, or just making a shit ton of money so they can donate to their favorite causes, Emily's clients are here to get it done with some fun. With almost 20 years spent studying the brain and another 10 as a leader in government, Emily has worked on some of the boldest policies of our day, so she knows what it takes to make the biggest goals a reality. In today's episode, Emily and I really dig into helping understand how to remove the mind drama. Emily is what I would call a brain coach to help you reduce that mind overwhelm. And she just does a beautiful job of breaking it down and giving us some really simple steps that we can take right away to help clear your mind so that there's not as much downtime in terms of your thoughts, like just going around and round and round in that negative cycle, and actually being able to remove that so you can focus on your goals and get to where you want to go. You're going to love this episode, and it's going to help you so much if you are really looking to kick it up this year and get to where you have dreamed of going in your business, and you've just not been able to wrap your hands around what's been holding you back.
You're listening to the Social Selling Simplified podcast. Stick around if you too are obsessed with learning things that actually work and believe that success leaves clues. We're all about identifying results-producing roadmaps and getting super clear on how to scale and grow your online business. From part-timer to president, social selling expert Ashley Shaw will help you connect the dots and take the guesswork out of what works to grow a social selling empire. It's time to hear from social selling legends, listen in on truthful conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks to reduce the marketing overwhelm so you can build the social selling business of your dreams. If you're ready to go all in, no holding back, and build the business you've always wanted, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, social selling guru, and fitness industry OG, Ashley Shaw.
So Emily, you are a business coach focusing mostly on the brain, because this is the operating system in which holds people back from either driving forward in the area of their life, like allows them to move forward, or will hold them back. And obviously you work with a ton of leaders in big roles that have a lot of ambitious goals. And I know that's one of the things that you like to work with, helping leaders that are achieving big, ambitious goals. So can you tell me a little bit about what stirred this up for you? You know, you and I met at, for those of you guys listening, you know, shout out to little Kingston, Ontario, and AJ's, which I don't know, even know. I think it's still open, the Ale House, maybe.
Probably, likely. It's got a good market.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what caused this to be sort of your life's passion to go in this direction?
Totally. Well, it really, if I were to draw it all the way back, started probably when I was 15. My dad actually had a brain aneurysm. And through being the sort of person who was at home with him or at the rehab hospitals with him, my mom was working full time. My sister's 5 years older than me. So she was living out of the home by that point. She had a full time job and was going to college. So I was really there with him. And I became fascinated with understanding how the damage had affected his brain and how people were helping him rebuild it. And it kind of was the first introduction to this idea of neuroplasticity. This idea that your brain can change and you yourself have the ability to manipulate it through the words that you use and the thoughts that you think, and just like simple exercises. And it became like fascinating to me. So I ended up going to Queens for psychology and for education, because it really, to me, like, oh, wow, you can affect your brain this way. It just like was this fascinating concept. But through it all, I had like my own sort of emotional turmoil as a result of my dad's brain aneurysm. We had to move countries. We were living in the United States at the time, and we had to move back to Canada. I sort of lost all my friends in high school, right? Like right when your teenage brain is needing all those things. The security around me, my dad couldn't work anymore because he's permanently disabled, kind of fell away. My parents ended up getting divorced. And it really just sort of felt like there was so many moving factors. And as a result, I really, really struggled in university. And the more I learned about the brain and then actually sought my own help for my brain, the more I ended up realizing how much I actually had control. It felt like all these things outside of me were happening. And yet the more I was actually able to understand how the brain works and the structures of it, the more I was able to like start to feel as if I was crawling my way out. And so that's where I really think all of this started. How I got into coaching was sort of like the next layer onto that. I really sort of realized that the profession of psychology could kind of pigeonhole people to being like, oh, well, you're diagnosable as this. And I kind of felt like there was such a broad spectrum to what I think is like the normal capacity for humans and the normal ability for us to do all the things in our day. And so I was actually working at Lululemon, of all places, back when it was just a Canadian company before it went public. And the founder, Chip Wilson, really had a strong passion for coaching. And as I sort of rose the ranks at Lululemon, they required that managers knew how to coach, even very loosely. And so we got sent off to like training forums and got exposed to a lot of different things, including coaching. And that's where I really figured out like, oh, this is my jam. This is where the psychology of your brain really, for me, meets you being able to take action. Because I think a lot of us have like read books and we have a lot of awareness of what's going on. But then we get stuck with like, well, how do I apply that? Or how do I move forward? I know I'm self-sabotaging, but we don't know how to get to the next step. And that to me is really what the core of my coaching is about, is like taking your awareness and then actually making it change your behavior in a way that serves you.
Wow. Like I am just in awe of everything that you just said. I find this topic so fascinating. I think the reason why is because Bill and I have been just beating at this like entrepreneurial drum for ever since him and I met. So I don't know if I ever told you this story, but back in Kingston, when we first met, we were like, we're going to start this lazy groceries thing, you know, where like your groceries get delivered.
I remember that.
You remember that? Like I signed flyers all the time of like, you know, but this was our advertising back then. This was our skill set. It was like two shopping carts like stuck together. And it was like tired of shopping carts making love, lazygroceries.com. Like that was our strategy of flyering like the quad. So we've been at this for like 15 years, like just trying to figure out how do we crack the online nut. The biggest thing that changed our business, and it's only been over the past year, is the mindset piece. Like we had all the skills, you know, like all the things, you know, Bill would, it would drive me nuts. He would be like late at night, like tapping on the key, you know, like working on his computer. Yeah. I'm like, why do you spend so much time on the computer? Anyway, that's another story. But, you know, like realistically, it was only until we pieced the brain part together and both of us were like on the same page with like our thoughts determine our reality and how far we can take this. And if we say we're only going to get to this level, then that ultimately determines our destiny. And we were able to 10X our business in 1 year. And it was really just all to do with the brain. So I find everything that you're talking about extremely relevant, super fascinating. And I had one question for you about going back to Lululemon for a sec. Did you go through the Landmark training?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I've heard
I graduated the Landmark Forum. Yeah. So I only did the forum. I didn't go through all of the training.
Okay. I've just heard a lot about it. That's
really that was like every time I just say I worked at Lululemon, everyone's like, did you go to Landmark? So yeah, I did. I think it's real. It's like an interesting approach. I don't know that it jives well with my approach at this moment, because it is really like meant to shock you out of your current reality. Okay. And that shock isn't for everyone, right? I like to say that like the thing that we need to learn the most is not how to hustle harder. And like a lot of the time management things I teach people isn't to show you how to cram more into your day, but it's actually how to like have grace with yourself so that your brain calms down enough to be able to focus on what you need to focus on. And instead, you're not spinning out as much. And to show you that you can have a lot of success while actually enjoying your life, while actually like just working the hours that you want to work, and feeling really good, because that's really what we're working for, right? Like, we didn't become entrepreneurs because we love working 24/7, because we love our husbands tapping on the keyboard until late in the hours, like late into the night.
Yeah.
We became entrepreneurs because we wanted to have a little more control. And then we kind of, it bleeds into like trying to figure out the how so much that we spend twice as many hours working because we're trying to like work so much at figuring out the how. And really what I teach people's brains is that the how doesn't matter as much when you just figure out how to get your brain to focus. Mm. You can let go of the how, because really, if you look at the internet now, there's 100 different ways, probably more, thousands of different ways that people have made six figures or more on the internet. And it's not one how that works, but instead it's how we use it, how our brains approach it, that actually creates the result. Just like you said, your thoughts create your results. Like, it's really, I think, the missing piece. And that's why people will consume course after course and still never get that result, because they think that they're still missing the like magic formula. But the magic formula is like your brain, how to use your brain. That's the true magic formula.
Oh, I love that. So I think what is interesting about that too, is you talked about like this spinning out. And I remember this coach I had, you know, being in the fitness industry, I feel like I, as soon as I moved out west, I was like, I always had like a, either a trainer or coach or someone. I was, you know, always working with that idea that I needed to get to this like certain point. And I remember this one coach, finally, I met this coach that all of a sudden I really jived with. And she was all about like, your hormones and, you know, I don't know, like everything she did was glute work and that just worked for me. Like, I really like that. Like, yeah. But anyways, one thing that she said to me was that it's not about slashing all four tires, you know, and that was always my mentality. Like, I went off track. So like, I got to ruin this whole day so I can write it off and move on to the next. And it's interesting because I think that that falls into that same brain mentality of like, if we can reduce that get back up time just to like focus, that's really where there's a lot of time wasted. Or that ability to phrase it a different way, that ability to actually hone in on, you know, for me anyway, like what I have to tell myself to make myself feel bad right now. Yeah. So that I can identify what that is, like, where is it coming from? Childhood, something, identify it and then change the narrative. But I want to talk more about like how you specifically coach people and what your teachables are, because that's just things I've picked up in masterminds and just different things like that, that I don't have all the, I'm interested in the brain, but I'm really curious about how you like to coach people and what your sort of, I don't know, formula or like how you think about those things and those mindset blocks for entrepreneurs and moms. Let's throw that in there too. Because that's a
big one for sure. Yeah. I'm a mom and an entrepreneur. Yeah. So yeah, I know that is huge. So I'd say like, there's no one formula I really use when it comes to helping people, because I find you always need something different at any moment in your life, right? Mm-hmm. What you need when you're scaling to six figures is so different than what you need when you're scaling to a million. What you need when you're getting your first client is so different than what you need to have a full practice. And so it's really about first awareness, right? If I was going to like break it down into phases, almost each stage that you're at will have that phase of like being aware of what's actually going on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we think we know because we're banging around in our brains all day, but we don't actually have the awareness from outside of our own minds. And that's why we need a coach, right? That's why we can't DIY at all when it comes to our own brain. Like to say that the jelly in the jar can't read its own label. Like, if you're inside your brain, there's no way for you to get outside enough to really be able to have an objective look at what's going on. And that's really the job of a coach, is to like show you how your brain is currently working and then show you a path to get it to the result that you want. Mm-hmm. So awareness is always that first piece. Like, we sort of diagnose the problem, like figure out what's going on. And we ask a ton of questions. This isn't about me coming in as an expert and being like, oh, well, you clearly are suffering from imposter syndrome, or you got this other thing over here. It's more about like, let's uncover it together and really asking those deep questions so that you get that like sudden shift of like, oh my God, I never thought of it in that way. Oh, damn. Like, I'd never really even looked in that dark corner. So awareness is always the first. And then we want to figure out where we're going. Like, what is the end result that you actually want? Not what we think is possible, right? From like, well, if I was just, you know, hedging my bets, or what I think if I work these number of hours, like you do this math in your head about like, well, this is probably what I could do. This is like probably what seems manageable. Probably if I, you know, increase my profits by 5% every month, I could maybe get to this. Instead, we talk about like, what do you actually want? Because I'm sure you found like you can go from like a steady income and then all of a sudden 10x it in a month. Like things can jump dramatically when your brain finally figures it out. And so it's about really like, where do you want to go? What is the dream? What do you want to have? And then we get into the nitty gritty, because a lot of times people will have no problem believing that they could be a millionaire in 3 to 5 years through their online business. But it's really, really hard for them to believe that they could sign a 5K client tomorrow. That's where the belief stops. And so we identify where along your path it is that you want to go. I like to think of it as like between 0 and 100, right? If you're at 0 and that's your starting point, and 100 is like you're the millionaire coach, then how do you get from 0 to 1, 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4? And like, you have to go through all those steps to really become that next version. But in our brains, and what I think we see when we're scrolling Instagram or looking at, you know, all these people who've made on the internet, is we think we see them going to 0 to 100. And we think that we should be able to do that, or at least like make a leap to 20 and 60 and 80, right? We think that we should not have to go through the crap that you got to go through on the journey to becoming who you want to be, with the result that just naturally happens when you're being that person. And so that's what we really break down next, is like, who do you need to become? What kind of things would they do? What is the thoughts that you're having when you've already achieved it? And we kind of break down what that looks like at the end, and all those markers between 0 and 100. So what does it look like when you're living at a 10? What does it look like when you're living in the 25 zone? How does it feel once you're like, what do you need to learn even when you're moving through 75 on your way to 100? And then we get to work of like actually doing that, and all the drama that kind of pops up in between there, right? And I say drama, not in terms of like a telenovela or something, right? Like, we're not talking about like pushing your sister-in-law down the stairs. We're talking about like the brain drama that sneaks up with really reasonable sounding things. Like, oh, well, you can't sign a client today because you don't have any calls booked, and you don't know where it's going to come from, and you haven't shown up in a week, and no one, you haven't built up your know, like, and trust. For every excuse that your brain has that sounds really reasonable sounding, we figure out A, why it might be there. And then if it's even a problem at all, like, can you still take action despite that like chirping in your brain that says you're not good enough, you haven't done enough, and nobody knows who you are, and you're actually kind of a failure, and you're just going to go out there and prove it to everyone. And so when we can stop that chirping, it allows you to like go forward inch by inch towards where you want to go.
Okay. So I love all of this. I want to start back at awareness for a sec. Yeah. So with that awareness phase, and that's what we would call it if we were lining this out in a step-by-step process. Step number one would be awareness. So what is happening from that awareness phase? So I love that analogy you used, the jelly in the jar can't read its own label. Like, love that. And so this idea is, when you have a goal that you want to achieve, you have to become aware. And is that mean, like, what does that awareness entail? Is it becoming aware of your own thoughts, or how would you describe that stage of what's sort of going on in your mind, or what you need to be aware of?
Right. I think the biggest thing is patterns. The way we do one thing is how we often approach a lot of things. The client call that I had right before this, we were talking about something that was completely new. And it was about, she's an entrepreneur and she's a mom of 4 kids. And she was talking about like, what if school shut down again? What am I going to do? Or like shut down for a long time. What are we going to do? And how are we going to approach it? And a theme came up for her about responsibility, like where she takes the responsibility for everyone else and all their experience of life and like all these things. And we have talked about it a number of times within the course of the time that we've worked together. But to see it again in this context, suddenly it was like, oh my gosh. this is that thing that I do. And when we can see how that shows up in every single area of our life, how we maybe like overcompensate through taking responsibility for how everyone else is experiencing the pandemic and, you know, within our, or how our kids are experiencing virtual school or how our husband's managing his own stress, when we sort of like try and change everything around them so that they never have a bad experience of it, then that becomes how we approach work, right? She was doing that with her clients as well, making sure that they always felt like amazing and comfortable and awesome, but it was coming at the price of her not just focusing on her zone of genius. And so it's this idea that once we can identify those patterns and we see it pop up, you can kind of like apply the same learning to those same places. It's like you learn it once and then everything in your life changes because wherever that pattern was showing up also gets to change in that same way. It just becomes this like, oh, it's that thing that I do when this happens. And once you have an awareness of it, instead of just banging it around in your head, we've already figured out how to solve for it. And then you just apply that in that new area. So she just applied it in the new area with her kids and homeschooling and what that might look like. And it just felt so much easier for her. It wasn't like she had to like figure out this whole universe of how do I manage this? It's just like, oh, that's that pattern that I do. I see it popping up over here. And so now I know exactly how to tackle it.
So it's something that when you, obviously, like when you have a coach, they're able to help you become aware of what that pattern is. Right. And if you're somebody that has dreams of maybe having a coach, but maybe you don't have one right now, it's about paying attention to, I usually call it resistance. Like when you feel that like block in your day or life, you're like, okay, this actually just tells me I need to pay attention. Yeah. Something else is going on.
Totally. Yeah. So what I like to, here's a great exercise that if you don't have a coach, you could do at home, is think of like all the areas of your life. Let's say there's even like five or six that you could do, like business, life, love, relationships, kids, health, whatever you want to kind of break it into. The buckets, we'll call them. And rate each one out of 10. Like, where do you feel like you're at right now? And then ask yourself why you rated it that way and what you would need in order to make it a 10. And those two questions usually reveal to people some patterns. You might be able to find where like, oh, well, I need my husband to be different in order for me to be happy. Oh, I need my kids to be different in order for me to be happy. Oh, I need my business to be different in order for me to be happy. You can start to like maybe unravel those patterns a little bit. You're not going to have the same skill level as a coach, obviously, but you can start to like have something to chew on and just become aware of and to not judge yourself for having patterns. Like we have them because they served us in some way in our past. They kept us safe. They kept us feeling safe and whole. Even if they're not serving us today, they have in the past. That's why your brain adopted them. And sort of just be like, oh, it's okay that it's there. Doesn't mean we're not going to work at it, but just to like not beat yourself up kind of just adds to the suffering of like already having a pattern that's not serving you.
It's so interesting. Actually, this month we give away freebies to our Beachbody coaches or people in the health and fitness industry to be able to use with their clients. This month being the beginning of the year, we did a goal setting guide, and that's exactly what our goal guide is the wheel of life. Yeah. We call it with the different areas. You rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 of what that area looks like. And then what's one small thing you can do to get it to that 8 or 9. So that's really fascinating that really ties in. It makes sense. But what I'll make sure to do is I will, if you guys go to ashleyshaw.ca/goals, I will make that available. So you guys can have a look at what that may look like. To just put a template to it. So that's awesome. I love that. So we've got awareness. And then once you become aware, you've set, you know, these areas that you can, small steps to improve. Then the next step was to figure out your, what you called it, goal, or what do you actually want?
Yeah, exactly. So here's where like a lot of the planning and time saving kind of comes in, is like, you kind of have to brain dump it all out. Everything, that you want for the year, everything that you think you need to do for the year, all your shoulds, woulds, haves, musts, everything kind of goes onto a list. And then from there, it's really about how can you delete, delegate, or just decide. So delete, pretty obvious, like what's not necessary here, but that you were telling yourself you had to do, you should do. Delegate, like, do you really need to do that? Or can you let go of it and have it be B minus work that someone else does, right? Like focusing on what's like your actual thing that moves the marker. And you really need to like, I like asking like, well, what is working? Because a lot of times we ignore what's working in favor of like, well, Amy Porter feels that I should be doing this, or someone else said I should be doing this. And you start like adding all the shiny objects in. But when you are delegating or deleting or even deciding, it's like, what is the thing that is like actually worked the best, right? What is the thing that's brought in the most clients, or what is the thing that has like moved your business the most? And then how do you repeat that, right? If like you signed 3 clients when you did a month's worth of IG lives, and then now you're not doing it and you're like doing all these other things. Well, if you're to just focus on doing those IG lives and you knew that that could convert to 3 more clients, or if you put twice as much time towards doing that thing that's working and you could get 6 clients, like I think it's something that we often overlook when we're filling out our to-do list is not really talking about what's really truly working. Mm-hmm. And then the decide one is really like, if you had to like focus in, narrow in on that one thing that could really push your business ahead, what would it be? And having to make that decision. I think all of us want to go an inch in 80 directions because we feel like, well, it's casting a wide net, that we have to be able to catch success if we cast a super wide net. But really what gets us success is being able to go a mile in one direction as opposed to an inch in 80 directions, mm-hmm. right? Really being able to get traction on something and train your brain to focus and be able to like get momentum and feel like you're moving forward. So mm-hmm. after you've gotten your awareness and you figured out your goal, you're going to like dump all the things that you need to do and then start like peeling back those layers through deciding, through delegating, through decision-making and deleting. And then it's really about figuring out how to make it all work. So you break it down, like you said, like what's that one small step that you could really take? And you want to actually like figure out how much time things are going to take, either how much they're going to take or how much time you want to give them. Because a lot of times we're like, oh, well, researching a contract could take me hours, or it could take you an hour if that's how long you want to decide to give it. Because I think we can go into perfectionism mode and like, or research mode and want to like get it right. But like, if we think about what's the B minus work that we could put up, what's the like really good first step towards our goal that we could put up, and then think of it as like an iteration from there on out, then it really focuses us on like, okay, I just need to take one step. It gets our brain out of the drama and the spinning out of like, you know, well, if this domino falls in terms of contracts, then forevermore, it's going to set off all this other chain of things that's going to completely ruin my business. And then we get into like not doing anything. So instead, it's about like, how do we just take those little steps forward, break it down, figure out how much time it's going to take, and then put it in your calendar. I am the biggest fan of like taking your entire to-do list and planning it out. I don't care if you have to change it in 6 months' time when you need to put a dentist appointment in there or whatever, but taking it out of your brain, our brain is not meant to hold that stuff. Mm-hmm. Calendars can hold that stuff, right? It doesn't have to be a complicated system, but just being like, it's going to take me 2 hours to do this thing and putting it in your calendar and then having it as like a future commitment to yourself. When we can start to show up for our own appointments in our calendar as if we're showing up for someone else, you build self-trust. And when you build self-trust time and time again, especially as entrepreneurs, you know you're going to show up for yourself. And then you know that you can achieve these things. And then it builds up all that confidence that you're really looking for.
I've heard that before, that if you set a time for yourself, when you say you're going to finish, you finish at that time. Like you don't, yeah. When you say you're going to give yourself an hour, you don't give yourself 2 hours. And it was to do something with that, that it builds that trust that you can rely on yourself
And so is there something with the brain that like scientifically helps push us towards confidence? Is that what's happening there?
Yeah. So it really is about creating a bucket of evidence. I like to always say, like, I used to have a black SUV, and I swear, as soon as we got that car, we saw it everywhere. And I'd go to the grocery store and I'd be like, how am I actually going to find my car afterwards if there's 8 of them parked in the same row? And we got rid of that car about 3 years ago and got like a little gray station wagon. And now I don't see that car anywhere. And it's not that it doesn't exist, but I see the gray station wagon everywhere. It is our mind will selectively filter to confirm what we do. It's called a confirmation bias. And the idea is that when you can start to do something with consistency, your brain starts to believe that that's what it should be looking for. So when you can be like, okay, I didn't get that thing done, but I showed up and spent an hour on it, which is what I said I was going to do. You start to build that trust in yourself. And then you start to actually get things done. Your brain will learn how to get it done in an hour or how to schedule more time if it truly needs the time that it needs. And through doing that, it starts to look for more and more evidence to confirm that thought in the first place. And that's what builds the confidence.
Love that. Okay, perfect. So we've got, once we define that actual goal and we've talked about like getting into the nitty gritty, what that looks like. Because once you set that goal, your mind is going to work towards it, that confirmation bias. And then you would look at the markers of this is your goal. This is the timeline. What are the things like breaking down? What do you actually need to do? Like, let's just say the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, like breaking that out so you can say, these are the things that I need to do along this timeline.
Exactly. And I think people really shy away from putting numbers to things, whether it's like, I'll make this much income or I'll do this many posts or I'll do it in this amount of time. We don't want to because we're so worried we're going to fail.
Right.
But if we actually think of it as just information gathering, right? I think that's one of the biggest resistance people have. Well, I don't know how long it's going to take me. How am I supposed to know? The idea is actually just the practice of saying, oh, I think it might take me 2 hours to plan this thing and then plan for a post and then write it. And then actually doing it and being like, whoa, that took me an hour. It actually wasn't that big of a deal. Or holy crap, that it took me 4 hours. Either way, you get amazing information about where your time leaks, where's your mind drama, where is it actually not as big of a deal as your brain is making it out to be. You get so much good information from that. So instead of thinking of it as like, oh, I failed every time, it's like, oh, what if I just was running experiments on figuring out my time and my brain and how to get things done? Because like, that's actually just as valuable as like, if you had employees, you'd want to be knowing that information. If you are your employee in certain times a day, when you actually have to execute on the work, then you need to know that information, right? What are you doing with your time? How long does it take? What is a reasonable expectation we can set for all that? And so using it as a guide, especially when it comes to income, I think we think that it's like totally out of our control and we have to like catch the fish to come in or something, right? We have to catch the clients. But really when we think about, when we do it from this place of like, okay, I'm going to work towards making 20K in Q1. All right, well, what does that look like on a monthly basis? What does that look like on a weekly basis? And then we think about like, what are the steps I might need to take? Well, I probably have to like show up and tell people that I'm open for business. I probably have to like make them an offer, right? I probably have to like give them a compelling reason why. And then they become these like small little steps that we need to take that build up to that larger thing. But if we never really had the goal of 20K and we knew that we didn't really know that we need to sign 5K this week or whatever, then we probably wouldn't be taking those actions. And that's like similar to what you were saying about how our thoughts create our results. If we're thinking about, oh, I want to work towards this thing. Like if you only signed 2K that week, you probably wouldn't be that upset about it because it's probably 2K more than you would have made if you weren't putting your mind into that action and moving yourself towards that goal that is measurable and defined.
So it's about being able to break it down so that those goals become, you're able to look at it like daily, weekly, monthly, like you're breaking out those habits of what actually needs to happen to get you closer.
Yeah. And there's two ways to look at these. You can have a process goal or you can have a steps goal, right? Steps goal is like step one, I do this. Step two, I do this. So for like if your goal was to like record this podcast episode, step one is like find a guest. Step two, it might be this. And so there are different steps that you're taking that take different right. amounts of time. A process goal is like, if you just showed up and did that thing every single day, what would probably result? So a process goal could also look like working out, right? If I worked out for a half an hour every day, would I eventually be able to like lose the weight or something, right? Like there's probably other factors to bring in there, but it's this idea of like, what is something you could have as like a tiny step that you took every day or three times a week or with some kind of consistency and you're doing the same kind of thing over and over again that could lead up to your goal. And those become your habits. Those become the things that you just do as like a non-negotiable, right? And then your process goals are the ones you really want to break down into like, what do I need to be doing on week one, week two? And I like to start from the end. So it's like, what do I need to be doing right before this crosses the goal line? Mm. What would I be doing? And what would I be doing right before that? And right before that? And right before that? And when you work backwards, your brain doesn't go into the like, or as easily go into the drama of like, that's never going to happen, right? Or like thinking it's impossible. It actually starts to see how easy it could maybe be, or it might be like, ooh, I actually can't do this in 6 months. This looks like more like a year now that I think about how much time each thing's going to take and what's absolutely responsible, like what I absolutely need to do. Mm-hmm. And it just helps you not set yourself up for failure so that you're not like thinking you're going to make 100K in 6 months. And then when you actually figure out what you need to do to get there, you're like, oh, well, if I'm also managing kids at home or whatever, that's actually not reasonable. And then at the end of 6 months, you don't feel like crap about yourself because you never reached a goal that you never really set out. And it was all just kind of floating around in your brain.
It's interesting because that's probably why though the goals then starting with the bigger goal and sort of working backwards would help eliminate a little bit more of that overwhelm versus trying to start from the beginning of like, where do I go from here?
Totally, right? Because that's when your brain just freaks out about like, how am I ever going to get there? It feels like such a big chasm to cross. Mm-hmm. And then that first step, you're like, I don't even know where to start. Mm-hmm. But when you start with the end, it's a lot easier to kind of like work your brain backwards, thinking, and it starts believing that it's already happening, right? Which gets your brain doing that thoughts create your results thing of like, oh, I feel like this is possible. I feel like this is like really working. I feel like I could actually do this. And then that's when you create that self-trust because you start showing up to those things because they feel a lot more possible. Right? You start actually executing on them. You start, maybe you don't do as much as you said, but you still count it as a win that you showed up three times more last week than you did the week before because you started to actually like just work it into your habits and work it into like what you're actually doing on a day-to-day basis because you see how it's moving you closer to that thing you really want.
And so this has been super informative. I really appreciate you taking us through this to really understand what we really need to do to connect that goal, but also getting our mind in shape to help us get there. So if you were to, you know, give us a couple of tips, let's say three, of how you can take these ideas and think about what the most successful people do, the ones that don't have the brain drama as much, what would be the daily habits or tools that you would recommend to either, I guess, start your day or schedule your day properly, anything to do with the efficiency or the time part? Because I know there's a lot of us that struggle out there with, I understand all this, but you know, something can take me off track in the morning. Like I'll just give you an example. This morning, our babysitter, this is her first week at school, and she confirmed this morning she was going to be in a lab, which meant she wasn't going to be able to come today. And this is the first week of it. But instantly, you know, my brain went into like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. You know, like it just shut down, you know, of like,
how are we going to do this?
Yeah. How? So when we experience these things, and this is a pattern of like trying to work a business, be a mom, and navigate this situation of what's going on with COVID and just how that impacts things. So what would be, if we were to come up with like three habits, what would be the best way to navigate, you know, these things on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So I want to say one thing first, which is that it's not better. there's no person who doesn't have brain drama. It's not better on the other side of like success.
Yeah.
Everybody's got brain drama because we all have human brains. What you're doing is building up the skill of how you want to respond when the brain drama comes up. Mm-hmm. And that skill is like, instead of just reacting without having the awareness piece that we talked about, without knowing what we need to do, like, then that's when we just go into reaction mode, and which is to be like, oh my God, everything's screwed. And then we go down that path of spiral. Like, well, now I'm not going to get anything done. So I might as well not do anything.
Yeah.
I might as well just like screw the whole day. Right. That's really like a reaction. Instead, it's about not having the brain drama. It's going to be there, but what is your response to it? How can you become aware that it's just a thought that your brain's offering up, that the whole day is ruined, and instead be like, what do I really want out of it? So the first thing I like to think about is like figuring out why you want everything that you want. So this is like really zooming out into the big picture. Why do you even want a business? Why is it important to you? And if you ask that question of yourself enough times, you should say like at least 5 times, we all have toddlers, just emulate that, right? Why? Then you can really start to get to the core of why it matters. Maybe it's like breaking intergenerational lack of money in your life. Maybe it is just like because being a badass female entrepreneur just like speaks to your soul. Maybe it's because you struggled with something in your past and you don't want to see other women in the world taken down by what is something that you know is solvable. Whatever it is, like have some whys, because when we're in the brain drama, we're really focused on like what's going on within our own self, right? A lot of times it's like something's coming up and it's like hitting at a core wound, which is like, I'm not good enough. I'll never make it. I'm not really smart. People are going to find out. But when we can put our focus back on the why, which is like this bigger thing than outside of us, the pain that we're going through in that moment of like, I knew I was a failure and this is just confirming it, kind of starts to ease away because our focus isn't on an internal, it's on like the bigger why that's really bigger than us. So that's number one, is like try to get your brain out of the drama and out of the emotional reaction. And instead of like following the emotional reaction down into the spiral zone, you're going to like think about the bigger why to sort of calm your brain down of like, okay, I got a bad comment on my Instagram post. Why am I doing this in the first place? Is it to get really good comments, or is it because like I want to show up as a different human in the world? When you can kind of get out of the brain drama, then the next step is to really like, I like to confirm all the ways in which I am already well equipped to handle this. Right. And this is really where I think imposter syndrome wants to rear its head and be like, girl, you don't know nothing. You're going to totally fail. But like when we can actually, I like to make these lists ahead of time and then go back to them. So like when you're feeling good, don't make it when you're in the depths of like the worst despair and be like, I'm totally lousy. How am I supposed to make this list? No, you make it when you're feeling good. Mm-hmm. Like, how am I completely and totally prepared to be able to handle the fact that my babysitter can't come today, or to be able to handle this really lousy comment? How do I already know what to do? How is it already true that I'm the person who is the badass business bitch, who is like the total awesome person who's making money that her generations of her family have never seen before, right? Like, how is it already true? And find every little scrap of evidence. They all count, even the tries that didn't work out, right? Even showing up, every participation ribbon counts, and just like putting it on there and really having, again, your brain giving it evidence, right? Having all the black SUVs show up to show and like get your brain to focus and confirm that you truly are able to handle whatever is going on. And then the last thing is kind of what you're saying, like, what is that first small step? What is just like one little thing that I can do to move from 0 to 1? Not how do I get to 100, or how do I make some like massive Instagram post that's going to get everyone to buy from me, but like, how do I even just show up from 0 to 1 today? What's like that one tiny thing? I like to think that like massive success is made 1% at the time. Mm-hmm. Just showing up for yourself 1% at a time will get you further over the course of a month than being able to like muster up the will and the strength to make some kind of massive show of things. Like that consistency of just like showing up, showing up, showing up 1% at a time will get you where you're going a lot faster than like the ups and downs of like, I'm here, I'm not here, I'm consistent, I'm not. And like burning out from trying to do all the things. So just what's that really one small step that I can take now that I've got my brain calmed down? What's that one small step? And then make it real, make that commitment to yourself, like planning with your current brain for your future self, knowing that your future self might be in drama, right? You might plan tomorrow being like, okay, babysitter's in the lab, right? Instead of being in the drama of being like, oh my gosh, she's in the lab. How am I going to do this? Coco's having a bad morning. Oh, like, and being in the emotion of it, you're using your like rational brain to think ahead of time and be like, no, I committed to doing this IG live at 9:30. So like, I'm just going to do it. And if Coco's screaming in the background and like, all right, that's okay. It's not a problem. So I think that's really like how you do it is like get your brain out of the drama by thinking bigger outside of yourself. What's the evidence that you can build for yourself and then get your brain to confirm for yourself of like how it's already true that you totally are that version of yourself, that you absolutely can do this. And then like, what's that one small step that'll get you there? Commit to doing it and then show up for yourself.
Awesome. So Emily, you've provided so much value, so many great takeaways. Where can we find you and follow you and learn more about what you do?
Yeah. So I'm mostly on Instagram. That's where I do lots of free trainings, lots of free videos. I go in there live a lot as well. And I think that's the best place to find me. So you can find me at Emily Fierce. I like to say my last name really fast. So it sounds like fierce, but to spell it out, it's F-E-A-I-R-S. So that's at Emily, E-M-I-L-Y, Fierce, F-E-A-I-R-S. And yeah, shoot me a DM there anytime. I love answering people's questions because I think we all hear these like broad topics and then our brains offer up this like, yeah, but my situation is incredibly specific and really special because of all of these things. And so I love hearing about people's like specific circumstance in which they feel like it's, they can't figure out how to apply what I'm talking about. So like, shoot me a voice message. Let's talk it out. I am there to help people figure this out. Because that's my real thing. Like I talk about struggling when I was in university and as a teenager after my dad's aneurysm, I know that it's figure outable because I've lived it. And I've done it again and again and again, whether it was when I was working crazy hours and had two kids. Now as an entrepreneur with two kids home during, you know, a pandemic, I've had to put this to the test again and again and again. And I know that it works. I know it works for my clients. So I want you to not have to feel like you're the only person that's stuck in the world where you can't figure out the how. I know that we can figure it out together. And so that's what I always offer. Send me a voice message. We got this. Figure this out.
I love it. Thank you so much, Emily, for everything today. It's been super helpful. And I know it's going to help so many people.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be on your podcast and to like hook back up with you again after 20 some years of knowing each other.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. I really, appreciate your time and thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Social Selling Simplified. Be sure to subscribe to the show and while you're there, leave a rating and review. I read each and every one and I love hearing from you. Thanks so much for tuning in and we'll see you right back here next week on Social Selling Simplified.